Hi, this is Austin Hill. Hey, thanks for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Now, remember, to hear the entire broadcast or more highlights from our recent episodes, you can go to the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com. Thanks for listening. This is the Faith Radio Network. Good morning, I'm Austin Hill. It's 7:35. Social media. Is that a phenomenon that's necessarily producing more social people? If you've logged on lately or been into your accounts recently, you might question just how social the world of social media is. Joining us to talk about this issue as it pertains to our children and perhaps even our grandkids as well, a lady who, along with Dr. Gary Chapman, has authored a profound book on the matter. It's entitled Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. Arlene Pelican joins us on the guest line. Arlene, welcome to Faith Radio.
Thank you so much. Great to be with you, Austin.
I love this title, A Screen-Driven World. Boy, you couldn't say that more succinctly. For those who are kind of maybe haven't really thought so much about what this screen-driven world is all about and the challenges that it poses to raising relational kids, give us an idea. I guess I don't want to be negative, but give us an idea how bad this is, really. What does the problem look like from your vantage point?
Yeah, my husband and I were at a child's birthday party this weekend, and he met another adult, a parent probably in his 30s or 40s. And the entire time my husband talked to this man, the man had his phone in his hand and was staring at his phone and didn't even look at my husband. And to be honest, that's the first time that something like that had happened. Mm. But we see it in our children that when someone maybe walks into your house, a guest, a friend, they might not even look up from their tablet, from their TV, whatever. They're just glued to the screen. And you've seen it in restaurants where, wow, look, a family's finally going out to dinner, but wow, they're all on their own device.
Right.
So we see this all around us where it used to be a big TV that everyone went around, but now everything's in our pockets and we're separated by that.
Well, yeah. And, you know, 5 to 10 years ago, Arlene, it seemed to me that those of us in the adult population, we were maybe just getting acquainted with the idea of kids sitting on opposite ends of a couch, not talking to each other, not looking at each other, but texting each other on their mobile phones. And that was even before we knew the phenomena of mobile Facebook or mobile Instagram or what have you. It strikes me that what we call social media, over and above the old school, you know, Internet 1.0, email and texting, the new mechanisms of social media have made matters worse. But what's your assessment on that?
Yeah, I think it's very important for parents, with if you have a baby, a toddler, an elementary school student, to say, you know what, this is so much part of a teenager's life that we have got to push this back as much as possible. Because many times you see the toddler, you know, in the grocery store and they're on their iPad and they know how to swipe and they know how to do all these things, but then they get to school, they don't know how to hold a pencil, they don't know how to do these other customary things because they've been on social media so young. Mm. So truly a caution for parents of young kids. Don't worry, they will get caught up in social media in a snap. Don't worry about it. Your child will not be left behind with technology, but where they might be left behind is right those social skills of looking at someone in the eye, having empathy for one another. Research shows that college students today are 40% less empathetic than college students 20 years ago, and a lot of that is because when you're messaging someone, you don't see the feelings it produces on the other end when you say either something mean or curse or whatever. You don't see that, and so children are weakening with their relational skills.
Arlene Pelican, she is the co-author of Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. One of the profound things that you and your co-author, Gary Chapman, have addressed, and you say it so well, Arlene, is that we need to teach our children, especially, that people come first, technology comes second. Wow. Yeah. How did we lose sight of that? Well, we did, but tell us where you're going with that.
Yeah, because technology is going to be a part of our lives, and there are wonderful things about technology. You can Skype grandma, keep in touch with your husband who's deployed. You can do all these sorts of things, but what it's done is it's all of a sudden we've become very comfortable with our devices, so much so that we need them. And then you look at people and you think, can you go a whole day without technology? Would that cause any, anxiety in your life? And if the answer is yes, then you realize, wow, I've become too attached to this. So, of course, it was there to serve us and to serve our relationships. But sometimes we've done a flip where, if something chimes, it beeps, and we instantly respond to it. It's like we're slaves to it instead of the person that's sitting right across the table from us. And many times it's our children that we as parents, we are texting, we're on our emails, we're catching up, doing things that seem legitimate. And yet from a child's perspective, if they can't catch our eye, they're going to realize, well, I guess I'm not as important as that phone my mom is holding. Now, does that mean we can't get to business? Of course we can. But we all know that there are times where we don't have to be on social media, but we are. And that's when we have to say, wait a minute, my child and playing this game with my kid or doing these Legos or these blocks, that's going to be more important than what I'm doing right now. And being able to switch gears and show your child you are more important than my social online life.
Very interesting. Now, lest anybody get the idea that I'm going completely negative here on social media, I'm not. We do a lot here at Faith Radio, vis-a-vis Facebook and Twitter and such. And we'll talk with Arlene in a few moments about some of the upsides to social media when we use it properly. But I'm asking her about some of the problems. And Arlene, another part of this that you and your co-author Gary Chapman bring to bear here is the notion that using social media, using computers, taking in information vis-a-vis the computer screen, it strengthens some parts of our brain, but it weakens other parts. That's a big deal. Yeah. Comment on that if you would, please.
It is a big deal. So what is strengthened is that quick decision making. Should I go to link A or link B? Oh, look at that advertisement. Wow, that looks interesting. Let me go to that. So you're able to make these quick decisions, respond very quickly, visual acuity. You can see things in the periphery because you've been playing video games and you know where that thing comes from. Your hand-eye coordination is real good.
Yeah.
You have these things, and that's positive and that's great. But what's not being used in all those activities, are those deeper concentration, long-term memory, sustained concentration, attention, and you see that in the classroom with kids, that if it's not, exciting and different every 10 seconds that they tune out. Mm-hmm. And so that is a real pitfall of, these attention problems where a child, it's difficult for them to sit through reading something, one thing, static, the whole time for 10 minutes. That's different than reading online, because when you read online, you skim, you scan, you jump, you go from this page, you go from that page. It's very different than the concentration it requires to read a simple book.
Just as a little sidebar here, the Faith Radio Network is headquartered here at the University of Northwestern St. Paul. I was speaking with the president of our university the other day, and he was saying that social media has posed all kinds of challenges for educators. He said no longer can college professors be, quote unquote, the sage on the stage. It's not enough to just stand up and speak to a group of people. We've got to be interactive vis-a-vis social media and other resources. Arlene, you're a professional communicator, very well-educated one at that. Comment, if you would, on how this has changed the ways we educate at home, in the classroom, in the workplace, everywhere.
Yeah, all these things, they can be very welcome, using a visual aid, using an object, making things exciting, pulling kids off of from the audience and bringing them in. All those things are great, but what you're losing, is the ability of, hey, if this information is really interesting, a child should be able to sit through a 15-minute presentation, and be able to listen to it. And so being able to embrace boredom, perhaps as a parent, so many times we're so quick to say, oh, this is boring for you. Here, let me give you this. This will entertain you. Instead to say, you know what? It is okay for my child even to sit, let's say, through a sermon at church. No offense to any pastor out there, but a child might think, I can't sit through this sermon.
Sure.
Make your child once in a while sit through that sermon so they are able to bring their wandering attention, bring it under control, sit still, listen as best they can, take notes, draw pictures about what the pastor's saying, whatever it is to help a child be able to not be dependent on exciting things and screens and flashing images to keep their attention, but that they can keep their wandering attention through self-control. And that's by training and letting your child be bored on a regular basis.
What a concept. You'll let your child be bored. Arlene Pelican, she is the author of Growing Up Social, Raising Relational Kids in a Screen-Driven World. It's a new book out, and Arlene, stand by. We'll continue in just moments. We'll talk with Arlene further about some appropriate and productive uses of social media and how to do it in proportion, shall we say. More in just moments. This is Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill. Good morning, it's 7:46. You're listening to Faith Radio. Growing up social, raising relational kids in a screen-driven world. That's a new book that has just recently been released on Northfield Publishing. Its co-author, Arlene Pellicane, she's still on our guest line here on Faith Radio. So not to completely malign social media, because I think it's a very powerful and useful tool when used properly. But Arlene, when you go out speaking to people about appropriate and proportionately appropriate uses for social media, managing it effectively, you said it so well earlier. You said we become the enslaved to this technology rather than putting the technology to use for our purposes. Where do we begin to make sure we're managing it properly?
Yeah, we can take a step back and think to ourselves, is the way I use social media, is that something I want to pass along to my kids? Is that something that I'd want a friend to emulate? And you kind of think about that. So think about the major relationships in your life, and are they being nurtured, or is social media kind of taking you away? It's like bringing you to the masses, but it is making your very close relationships atrophy. You know, I was at a youth conference, and I was thinking this was all about the youth, you know, all about these teenagers, and it was a parent who came to me afterwards and said, a husband who said, my wife is just amazing in so many ways, but she has discovered social media and she uses it to encourage people, sending them a Bible verse or sending them, you know, I'm praying for you, etc. But what it's made her do is all the time she's on her social media. In the car, she's on her social media. They're on dates, she's on her social media saying, here's what my husband and I are doing. And he said, I don't know how to get her to stop. And so many times what we've done is we've taken a really great thing, being able to be in touch with friends who are a distance away and bringing them close. And that's wonderful. And having this technology to watch things from all around the world, all of these things are great, but they have to be with intention. Because without the intention of this is the program I'm going to watch and then I'm going to turn it off, you end up the whole night is gone and you're like, why did I sit here for the last 3 hours? So you've got to have those boundaries of this is the amount of time I'm going to use, or this is a particular thing I'm going to do. For instance, for social media, it's endless. So you might say for 10 minutes, I'm going to check all my social media, get caught up, and then I'm going to turn it off. Because it's too tempting all the time to be checking because there's always something new there.
Arlene, you've also written eloquently in the book about screen time on social media and parental authority, having appropriate boundaries as mom and dad, being in charge and saying, here's the limits. Where do you begin? And we want to get the book. I want to get the book. I want to read this thing all the way through. I've only read little chunks of it. I'm parenting a teenager, so I'm facing this continually, as you can imagine. But where do you begin a conversation about proper boundaries with the kids and social media?
Yeah. And you can start by thinking, you know, the average student age 8 to 18 is watching 7 hours of screen time a day. So by the time a child is 7, they would have watched one full year of screen media 24 hours a day. And so many times we think in our minds, well, it's just normal. This is what kids are doing. But you have to think, do I want normal? Do I want my kid to have that much screen time while they're in my home and under my influence? So part of it as a parent is assessing what do I want, what is working, what is not working, and then really scaling back gradually. So for most of us, we don't have this problem like, oh, I'm underusing technology. You know, most of us have the opposite problem of it's too prevalent in the home. And so instead of saying, like, if your child is playing and watching 5 hours a day, you don't go all of a sudden to zero, you know, and your kids are going to think, what happened to you? And I want to burn that book. You know, but instead to say, you know what, I've been thinking about this and I think this is too much what we're watching. We need to be more physically active, at least 1 hour a day. We want to socially do things. So you know what, we're going to trade half an hour of our screen time for outdoor time where we take a walk around the block, where we exercise, or we're going to trade an hour of screen time for reading time where you're going to be reading instead. And here's the thing, the kids are not going to like this at first. They're going to like their screen time. And so, of course, be ready for that pushback and do it gradually. So nothing so radical that they don't know what to do. But you could start with, you know, all devices turned in at 10 p.m. or on Saturdays, we're going to go half day with no devices and start gradually and help your child. Now they're going to resist, but later they will say thank you.
I'm sure they will. And just as a general rule of thumb, this is a very broad, generic question here, but generally speaking, is it really all that important for us to post photographs of our entree or dessert online? I don't know. My tongue is firmly planted in cheek, if you know what I mean, but sometimes I just look at that and think, oh my goodness, this social media stuff has just gone way over the cliff. But I'm sure you've thought about that.
I certainly have. My husband and I were on our anniversary. We were at a little cute B&B, and I got my phone out to take a picture of the water. The water was served in a little cowboy boot, and I saw it like a glass cowboy boot, and I just thought, oh, my goodness, I am becoming those people that always put their phones and must document everything. See, I thought, oh, no, what's happening? So you do. We have to control it to think, is it really so important to share this, or should I just savor this with whoever it is that I'm with?
That's right. Maybe it's just an in-the-moment sort of scenario, and it doesn't need to be seen on the other side of the continent. Anyway, it's Arlene Pelicane, her new book, and it's a good one. We encourage you to check it out. Growing Up Social. We'll get the info for this on MyFaithRadio.com. We'll probably even post it on our Facebook page as well, which will be cool. But use that in proportion. Again, Growing Up Social. Some very important information for raising relational kids in a screen-driven world. Arlene, thanks so much for joining us. We look forward to continuing this conversation and talking again very soon.
Thank you so much for having me, Austin.
Always a pleasure. All right, I tell you what, I do see it stacked in the corner here. We've got some copies of the book Growing Up Social to give away. If you would like to call right now and enter your name into a drawing, we'll draw a couple of winners for a couple of copies of this book after the top of the hour, 8 o'clock. But call right now to get your name into the drawing. Here's our number. It's 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Would love to get you a copy, or try to anyway, get you a copy of this book, Growing Up Social. Yes, we can become more well-socialized, even in a culture that is very antisocial and just kind of crass, quite frankly, at times, even as it plays out on social media. 877-933-2484. It's 7:53 now. It's Faith Radio. I'm Austin Hill. Don't go away. Well, thanks again for listening to this highlight from Austin Hill in the Morning. Remember, for more information about this, visit the Austin Hill in the Morning program page on our mobile-friendly website, myfaithradio.com.